be. So the Mishnah is going to teach us about the responsibility of a store owner versus the responsibility of a father. Now remember, in those days, the stores did not normally provide the packaging. The container holding the goods would come from the buyer. The buyer would come with his jar, and the store owner, if the buyer was buying a pound of sugar, would pour out of his big bag, out of his big barrel, or out of his jar, the pound of sugar into the buyer's jar. So the Mishnah teaches like this: Hashaleach es beno etzel chenvani. A father sent his son to the store. Upunjon biyado, and in the son's hand is a coin that is worth 2 isar. And the son comes with an order, ordering an isar worth of oil, let's say. Umadad lo bi isar shemen. So the store owner pours out an isar worth of oil into the child's jar. Now it's a child. So v'nas san lo es isar. Then he gave the child an isar of change. Child was irresponsible. Shavar satzluchis. He broke the jar. Avadas Isar. He lost the Isar of change. So chen v'nichayev. Store owner is responsible. He was negligent. That's the view of the Chachamim. Rabbi Yehuda Potter. Rabbi Yehuda says the store owner doesn't have to pay. Shamanas kin sholcho. That's what the father did. He sent the child with the jar and with the money. So the father is saying, give it to the child. It's the father's fault. What we call aveda midas. The father was sort of deliberately losing something, putting it into danger. So then I'm not responsible. He put it into danger. Umodum chacham l'Rabbi Yehuda. The chacham would agree to Rabbi Yehuda. Bizman shatzluchas biyad atinok. If the container's in the hands of the child, umadad chenvin l'socha, and the store owner measures the goods out into the container of the child, shechenvini pater, that the store owner is exempt. So the Gemara now says like this: Bishlam Isar v'Shemen. I can understand that they argue about the change, they argue about the oil that spills. Bahapligi, this is the argument. Abanan Sarvi lo due shadre. They're abanan hold that the store owner is responsible, because when the father sent the child, he didn't mean, okay, give it to the child. He meant, my child is informing you of the order, but now you're a store owner. You need to be responsible how you deliver the order to me. You can't deliver it in the hands of a child who's probably going to lose it. Rabbi Yehuda Savar, if the father sent the child with the jar and with the coin, so l'shturi le'shadre, so it must be the father is communicating, okay, use my child as the emissary. So now the father's responsible, not the store owner. But let's talk about that container. I don't understand. Why would anyone say that the store owner is responsible for the breaking of the container? Aveda midasi, that's the fault of the father. The father deliberately lost the container. He put it into danger. It's like a person who puts his stuff out into the street. You don't need to watch it. That guy's being negligent. He doesn't care about the value of the container, or his behavior seems to teach us not to care about the value of the container, because he's giving the container to a child. Amar Rav Hoshaya. Rav Hoshaya explained, we're talking about where the father himself sells containers. So the child is bringing a container that the store owner ordered. And the store owner is picking up this container to check it out to see if he wants to buy it. So therefore, this is the law of Shmuel. Kedush Shmuel, Amar Shmuel. Shmuel says, "Hanotel klimen uman. If you take a utensil from a craftsman, amanas levakro, in order to check it out. So once you pick it up, you've become a borrower on it. Venenas piados. Even if it just breaks with some force out of your control." Chayev, you're now a responsible. So that's what's going on here. The father is a seller of containers. The store owner is a seller of sugar. The store owner ordered a container that holds a pound from the father. The father sent the container with the child. The store owner picked it up to see if that's a good container. Then he fills it with sugar and he gives it to the child. So since he was negligent in giving the sugar to the child, he's also being negligent in giving the container to the child. He's responsible for the container, even though we'll say, oh, the father is the one who endangered the container. No, once the store owner picked up the container to see maybe he would want to buy it, the store owner is the one responsible for the container. The Gemara says, if that's the case, Salema de Shmuel, then this law of Shmuel, that when a person picks up an item to see if he wants to buy it, he becomes responsible for it, is Tanayi, it's a machlokas Tanayim, because that's an argument in this Mishnah, that according to the Chachamim, that's in fact the case, whereas according to Yehuda, that's not the case. El Rabba Rav Yosef Dami Tarvayis, therefore Rabba and Rav Yosef both suggested like this. Hacha here, b'chen v'nimochet sluchios askinam. We're talking about an unusual case. The store owner himself not only sells sugar and oil and wine, he sells containers for the sugar, oil, and wine. And he actually, when he provides the sugar, he provides the container. It's like a modern store owner. He actually provides packaging, not like the old day store owners. And then the Rabbi Yehuda is following his shita that, you know, the father was clearly saying by sending the son, give it to my son. So the store owner is not responsible. And the Chachamim are following their opinion that the father is only telling the store owner what the order is. So the store owner was negligent in giving all these things to the son. Iachi, if that's the case, say Masefer, read the end. Modum Chacham Rabbi Yehuda, the Chacham agreed Rabbi Yehuda that the store owner is not responsible. Bizman Shatzluchas Biatinok, if the container's in the hand of the child, Umarat Chenveni Lesocha, and the store owner measures things out into the container, Shechenveni Pater, that the store owner is exempt. Aye, but you just said that according to Rabbi Yehuda, Vamet Lo Due Shadre, that the father just sent the child to inform the store owner of the order. So how could the store owner be exempt? The store owner should never have been sending things with the child. Ela Abaya Bar Avin, Rav Chanina Bar Avin, Dami Tarvayus. Therefore, Abaya Bar Avin, Rav Chanina Bar Avin both said, Hachav Mayaskina, what are we talking about over here? Kigon, we're talking about Shenatla Lamud Ba. The child really comes with a container, and the store owner grabbed or took the container of the child in order to measure with it the goods. And so since the store owner took the container to measure the goods into it, to measure the exact amount, it's no longer considered a container that the owner of the container has been irresponsible with. This is like the law of Rabba, Kidder Rabba. The Amar Rabba, Rabba is like this. We know that there are all sorts of scenarios where you don't have to return a lost object. You don't have to care about other people's property. So one is what we're talking about over here. If the owner of the property is negligent with the property, he puts it out into the street, it's aveda midas, he's deliberately losing it, he's taking risks with it, so then you don't need to be so careful to watch it. He wasn't watching it, you don't need to watch it. Okay, that's one case. There's another scenario where a person doesn't have to return property. If you're a big Torah scholar and you have a long white beard and you're 85 years old and what was lost was something not respectable for the Torah scholar to be carrying around, I don't know, it was something disgraceful for him to be carrying. So then you don't have to return it. That's called Zakin Ve'ena Lefi Chvodu, an elderly sage, and it's not respectful for him to be carrying it. So what happens if an old Torah scholar sees some donkey? So it's not respectful for the Torah scholar to be carrying the donkey. But he kisha, but he hit it, and it started to move. So now it's chayivba. So now he is responsible for its return. Once he started to pick it up and to move it, he's responsible for the return. So that's what happened here too. We asked, why would we say that the store owner is responsible for the breaking of the utensil? The father who gave the utensil to the child was negligent with the utensil. Once it's an object that people are being negligent about, no one needs to care about its return. The answer is that's true. So therefore, no one had to care about the return of the object. No one had to care about it. It's like an object in the hand, you know, in the sights of a Torah scholar, that the Torah scholar doesn't need a return. So even though the Torah scholar doesn't need to return an object, once he starts returning an object, he needs to finish the job. So that's what happened here. The store owner took the utensil to use it, to measure with it. So once he took it, he needs to finish the job. Now he didn't finish the job because he then turned around and he gave this utensil to a child. And the whole point of the child, according to Rabbi Yehuda, was just to inform the store owner of the order, but not that the child should be the one to carry out the order. So therefore, the store owner is responsible. Gemara says, one second, Amar Amar Rabba, when did Rabba say such a thing in regards to lost objects with Baalei Chayim, when we talk about a living object, like a lost donkey? Time continue Nigra Biyasa, because by hitting it, the guy is, the scholar is teaching it to move and making it harder for the original owner to have it. But did anybody say that with a utensil, once a store owner picks up a utensil to use, he's now responsible not to give it back to the child who brought it? Elama Rava. So therefore Rava said, Ani, I, Va'arisha Bachabura, and the lion amongst our group, Tergaminu, we explained this Mishnah. Umanu, who's the lion amongst our group? Rabbi Zera. It's Rabbi Zera. This is what we explained. Achab Mayaskina, here what are we talking about? The child comes with the container. So we said, one second, what's the father doing giving the container to the child? He's being negligent. It's when the store owner took the container and he used it for other people. He didn't just use it for this child. He used this container for other orders. So now, he had never had permission for that. So this gets to a different question. Somebody borrows something without asking permission to borrow. So it's not like theft. Theft means that I take something with the intention of taking it for myself. Here, the store owner is not taking it to keep it. He's taking it to use it with the intent of giving it back. He's borrowing, but he never got approval for the borrowing. So what's the status? Mar Savar Shoal Havi. One opinion is that he's a borrower. So as a borrower, once he gives it back to the original spot where he took it from, he's no longer responsible. So that's the view of Rabbi Yehuda. He's a borrower on the utensil. Once he gives it back to the child, which is where he took it from, he's no longer responsible. Umar Savar, but the view of the sages is that someone who borrows without permission to borrow is not just a borrower. He is already a thief. And a thief is only out of liability once he gives it back to the original owner. To put it back to the spot where he stole it from is not enough. He needs to give it back to the original owner. So since when he borrowed it without asking for permission, he borrowed it from the child. That's really an act of theft. He stole it from the child. He's not exempt until he gives it back to the original owner. He didn't give it back to the original owner. He gave it back to the child. Therefore, he's responsible when the child breaks it. That's the case of the Mishnah. All right, next topic. Oof, we learned before. Amar Shmuel. Shmuel said, if there's a craftsman who makes utensils, a potter, he makes pots, and I took a pot to see if this is good enough because I want to buy it, and then some act of coercion happened in my hand and it broke, chayev, I need to pay for the pot. What are we talking about? The kitzi dame. When there is a set price, when everybody knows that the pot goes for $20, I know that it goes for $20, you know it goes for $20. And I pick it up to say, yeah, I'm going to order it. I just want to make sure this is a good one. Then my picking it up is already an acquisition of it. Because since there's a set price, my act of picking it up, the hagbah, is already an act of acquisition, provided that it's okay. You know, I'm buying it now, making sure, you know, that it doesn't have the problems. That's what I'm looking at. But that means I'm already acquiring it, and therefore I'm responsible for the law. So now a couple of stories that carry out this law. Yeah, please. Yes.
Is it a real set price, yeah, or is it a generality?
No. A set price. Absolute
so
set price.
If he walked in and said, he'd have to say, I want you to buy this from me for $30.
Yeah.
If he says, I just want you to buy this from me, and he's looking at it,
yeah,
and he didn't say the value, then he wouldn't be entitled to recover
it. Well, that's what it sounds like, right? Because if there's no set price, then the buyer has not really agreed to buy it yet. They're going to haggle about the price. And as we've seen before, if you don't know what the price is, correct, it's not yet his.
But you gifted the object, you said, okay, $30 gifted, no, and then you see something flawed with it.
Yes. Correct. Correct, that's right. Because you say, when he's lifting it, he's acquiring it on condition that there are no problems. So if there's a problem, he can give it back. But if there is, you know, if he breaks it or breaks out of his control, he is responsible because the very act of lifting is already an act of acquisition once there's a set price. So Ahu Gavra, there was a man, Da'ala Beit Tabche, went into a butcher shop, Agva Atma de Bisra, he lifted up a thigh of an animal. Behind the Agva, as he was lifting it up, Asa Prasha, a horseman came, and Mirmamine, he took it away from him. So the butcher went to Rav Yemer. He said, this man's responsible. I know it's the Roman who stole the meat, but he already lifted up the meat. So once he lifted the meat, he bought it, so now he owes me the money for the meat. So he said, yeah, he has to pay for the meat. Right, that's only the case where there is a set price for the thigh of the animal. Welcome back. I would God, but there was another man. He brought melons, gourds, to the riverbank, Pumnahara. Asakuliyam, everybody came. Shakul Karakar, each one was taking a gourd. So Amaluhuthi, he got nervous. He was worried, maybe they're not going to pay me. He said, you know what? Harein mukdash l'shamayim. Everything is holy. It's all consecrated. So also the commander of Kahana, the Kimchev of Kahana. Amaluhuthi said, I don't understand. A person can't make consecrated what he doesn't own. Once you guys lifted up the melons, you own them. That would only be true if there was a set price for all the melons. But if the melons don't have a set price, it's going to be a negotiation. Then the guy who lifted it to look at it hasn't yet acquired it. So then it's still in the domain of the original owner, the Shapir Akdash, and he could really sanctify it. Tan Rabbanu Hinti Nebraisa. Case number three of this law, or application number three. Halokeach Yerek Min Asada. A man who's buying vegetables from the market. Ubir V'iniach, and he's choosing the good vegetables and putting them aside. Afilu Kol Yom Kulu, even all day. Lokana, he doesn't acquire the vegetables yet. Therefore, V'lo Neschayev B'Maiser, since he doesn't own the vegetables, even though he's buying the vegetables from an Am Ha'aretz, he doesn't yet have to give Maiser from them. But if Gamar Beliba Liknosof, when he's putting the vegetables to the side, it's not just to choose the nice vegetables, but to acquire these nice vegetables. Kana, he acquires them. Once he acquires them, the Schayev B'Maiser, he has to give Maiser. Now, he has a problem. He changes his mind. He doesn't want to keep these vegetables. Lachzir, he can't give these vegetables back. Should find a Schayev B'Maiser. Once it's obligated in Maser, I, as a Torah scholar, am not allowed to give food that's not so kosher around. I can't spread it around. Ula Asra, we have to give Meiser and then give it back, also is not good. Shekfar Mavchis and Bedam, then I'm giving back to the guy who was selling something worth less than what he gave me. I'm giving him back something minus 10%. That's not fair. Okay, so what do I do? Now that I decided to keep it, it was mine. But now that I've changed my mind from keeping it and I want to give it back, it's something obligated in Meiser. So what do I do? I have to give the Meiser, Ma'asro. Venosin loads may Meiser, give him back the melon, because I don't want the melon anymore, and compensate him for the amount of melon that I took off as Meiser. So now, Atu Mishum, the Gamer Beliba Liknos Kanav Neschayev B'Maiser. If a person's, you know, in the market and he's going through the vegetables and in his heart he thinks, okay, I'm going to buy these vegetables. That makes the vegetables his, and now he needs to give Meiser from them. Amar Rav Hoshai, Rav Hoshai explained. Here we're talking about a person who's very righteous. He fears God a lot. Kagon Rav Safra, like the great Amora Rav Safra. And Rav Safra, Kiyem Benavshe, Rav Safra, we learned back in the Masechet Brachos, he fulfilled in himself the Dover Emes Belvavo. He would speak truth in his heart. The Gemara says the story about Rav Safra. He had something for sale, and he was saying Kriyat Shema. And someone came in, and he said to him, Rabbi, I'll pay you X for the item. So he didn't respond because he was saying Kriyat Shema. So the guy said, I'll pay you X plus Y. He again didn't respond. I'll pay you X plus Y plus Z. Then he finished Kriyat Shema. He said, will you sell me the item for X plus Y plus Z plus A? He said, no, for X. He said, well, I already went far higher. He said, yeah, but when you said X, I heard it. In my heart, I agreed to it. And I fulfill what I agreed in my heart. I'm so honest. If I think of something, I'm going to do it. So that's the case here. We're talking about a big tzaddik like Rav Safra fulfills what's in his heart. So if he's looking through the vegetables and in his heart he's deciding that he's going to buy them, then already he feels he has to buy. Then already he's obligated to separate Meiser from them. If he then turns around and changes his mind and decides to want to give them back, he would give them back minus the Meiser, but he would compensate for the Meiser with money. All right, next Mishnah deals with a very, very important topic. This is the topic of honest weights and measures, one of the most important topics of the Torah. that when someone sells, he has to be very careful that his weights and measures are honest. He's not even allowed to possess a dishonest weight, let alone to use a dishonest weight. So when you have, remember, in those days, they didn't have packaged goods. So I would come with my jar. I want a gallon of oil. I would go to the market, to the store. The store owner would pour from his gallon of oil into my gallon of oil. So one second, over time, as we saw, there could be, you know, sediments that collect on the bottom of these containers. The oil can congeal, the wine can congeal, and then, you know, what he's saying is a gallon is going to be actually a little bit less than a gallon because the bottom is all sticky and it's not coming out. So he has to wipe down his utensils regularly to make sure that everything stays honest. And he doesn't get to a situation where when he's supposedly selling a pound or a gallon, he's actually selling a little bit less than a pound or a gallon because on the bottom of his utensils, he has a thin layer of congealed or dried liquid. So hasiton, a wholesaler. What's that?
Does he have a buffer of the one?
No. On the contrary, he has to actually add a little bit to make sure that he doesn't give you a dishonest weight and measure. Dishonest weights and measures are a very big deal. Hasiton 1/6 is about a price, not about the amount. The amount has to be 100%. Hasiton, a wholesaler, so he does a lot of business. Mekaneach midosav, he has to clean out, he has to wipe down his measuring cups. Echad l'shloshim yom, once every 30 days. Ubalabais, but if you have a store owner, you know, a homeowner, he doesn't sell much. Echad l'shneim asar chodesh, he only has to clean out his measuring cups once every 12 months. Rishon Gamliel lo'mechilu fadvarim. Rishon Gamliel says the exact opposite. The wholesaler, he's selling all the time, so he's pouring things out all the time. Nothing has time to dry. So therefore, he only has to clean out the measuring cups once a year. The homeowner, he's not selling all the time, so sometimes he sold and some drops were left at the bottom, and those drops are going to dry, and he's going to fill up his thing again, and it's not going to be really full because there's going to be a layer on the bottom. So he has to clean it once every 30 days. Chenvani, what about a store owner? So a retailer, mekaneach midosav, pamayim b'shabbos. He has to clean his measuring cups twice a week. Umemacha mishkulosav, and he has to clean the scale, wipe off the scale, pamachas b'shabbos, once a week. Wipe the weights once a week. Umekaneach mosnaim, and wipe the scales. I'll call mishkul and mishkul after every time he weighs. Every time he weighs, he has to wipe down the scale to make sure there's nothing left on the scale to weigh it down and make it the dishonest scale. This is all true with moist things like oil, wine. I will be yaves, but if you're dealing with dry things, let's say sugar or salt, so they're not, or peppers, so nothing there is going to stick to the bottom of the measure. Nothing there is going to stick to the scale. So ain't no tzarch, you don't have to wipe it down after every weighing or after every deal. Now, when you sell through a scale, v'chayiv l'achria lo tefach. You have to, let's say you're selling meat, you have to make sure that the meat that you're selling to your friend is a full tefach, a full fist, a full 3 inches lower than the scale. So you sold him a pound, you have to add to the pound of meat, a pound would be that the two are equal. You have to add to the meat. You sold him, he paid for a pound, you give him a little bit more than a pound, so that the scale goes a full tefach lower on the side of the meat. Let's say you're, the scale is exactly equal, so no sein lo girumin. So then you have to add to him a little addition. So what's the addition that you give? If it's a moist thing that you're selling to him, echad asar b'davar lach, 1 out of 10, so a tenth of the lug for 10 lugin, if it's moist. In other words, 1/100th. Ve'echad le'esrim, and presumably 1/20th when you're selling 20 litra, so that's 1/400th in yavish, in something dry. Next, Let's say a place where they normally measure out with small, thin utensils. Let's say every kav is measured by himself. So when you're selling, you can't sell with one big measure of multiple kavim together, because then the buyer is going to lose out, because you're only going to give one addition of making it heavier, and you should be giving multiple additions of making it heavier. Begasa, but if it's a place where normally they measure out in large measures, lo yamud bedaka, then you're not allowed to, as a buyer, order and get it measured in smaller amounts, because then you're getting too many additions. Limchok, if the place is the custom that after the thing is measured out, you then smooth out the top, so lo yigdosh, so then the buyer should not, it cannot insist on having a heaping amount. And ligdosh, if the custom is to sell with a heaping amount, lo yimchok, you can't sell with a smoothing out the top, because we always follow minag ha-medina, the custom of the place. So the Gemara now asks, minani mili, how do we know this, that we're supposed to make the meat actually heavier than the weights? Amar Yishlakish, Yishlakish, Yishad Amar Karkas, the Pasuk says, Evan Shlema Vatzedek Yilach, have a full stone, it should be, and justice it shall be yours. It means Tzedek Mishalcha, the language of Lach, yours, means make it righteous from yours. Vetainlo, give him some of yours to make sure that you're honest. Yach, if so, he must say, if we read the end of the Mishnah says, Hayashokalo Ayin Bain, let's say he didn't do it, he gave it equal amounts. No sin lo, he weighed equal amounts. No sin lo gerum, and you have to give an addition. V'yachrado raisa, if it's a biblical law that I need to give him extra weight, that the weight of the meat has to be a tefach heavier than the scale, then the weights on the other side, echiyav lahan bayin, how could a person ever get away with giving an equal amount of meat to the weight? Elaresha, so just at the beginning, it's just talking like this, makam shenagu. If there's a custom to give an added amount of meat, that's what you should do. You have to follow the custom. The law of Reish Lakish was a seif itmar, was about the biblical law, just to add 1/100, namely, if hayashokalo ayin b'ayin, if it's a place where you give a pound of meat that's ordered, you deliver an actual pound and you weigh it out equally, the scale is equal to the weight of the meat, then no sin lo girum, you still have to add a little bit. What's that little bit? So as we said, 1/100 in a dry item and 1/400 in a wet item.
Can't you do equal and then just take a give them a discount on the price? Say instead of $10, you pay me $70.
I think maybe, or maybe, I'm not sure. I think no, you have to add the amount. You have to give them a little bit more. You have to make sure that you're not being dishonest in your weights and measures. We know immediately, how do we know this? I'm Reish Lakish said, that's this pasuk. Evan Shlema Vatzedek, Tzadek Mishalcha, make sure that you make it righteous from your amount, Tatenlo, and give to him. Kama Geirumin, how much is this extra amount? It's biblical. Amar Abba Varmamal Merav, Echad Masar Belitra Belach. In other words, if you have a litra that has 10 liters, 1/10 of a liter, in other words, 1/100. Then the Mishnah said, Echad Lasar Balach, 1/100 in moist, and we said, Echad Lasrim, Biyavish, we said, 1/400 in the dry. By the way, the Bnei Yeshiva weren't so sure. They said, how do you read it? Do you read it as Echad Measara Balach, Lachal Asara Dalach, 1/10 of the moist, when you're giving 10 measures of moist, ve'echad me'esrim b'yavesh, and 1/20 of dry, le'esrim d'yavesh, when there are 20 measures of dry, so that is 1/400, the way we read it, oduma maybe, echad me'asara, 1/10 la'asara d'lach, for 10 measures of moist, and 1/10 le'esrim d'lach, 1/10, when you have 20 measures of moist, actually the amount of yavish, 1/10 out of 20 of dry, which actually means 1/200 added for the dry, not 1/400. All right, and now a little bit of agaritza. Amar Reblevi said, Kasha onshin shel midos, yoser meonshin shel arayos. God punishes more harshly for dishonest weights and measures than for the sin of adultery. Shazen Namer Behen, for about the Arayos, it says, Ki Asu has called Toev, Ki has called Toevo Soel. They did all of these. Zeb, but whereas false weights and measures, it says, Tovas Hashem, it's an abomination of God called Ose Eile, all who do these with an added hey. My mashma the high ale kashu. How do we know that even the word ale means something harsh? The ksiv is the pasuk says ves ele haaretz lakach, and the powerful ones of the land he took. Ask the gemara, but gabe arayus nami yoksiv ele. It says kikol asher yasim kol toeva sa ele. The word ele exists even with adultery. The gemara says no ahu. That's to say lemute midos mikares. That's to say toeva sa ele. These abominations get kares. False weights and measures don't get kares. So in second, if you only get the punishment of kares for adultery, how are false weights and measures worse than adultery? The answer is the hasam efshar b'tshuva. A person who does adultery, he can still do tshuva. V'hacha, but false weights and measures, he steals from so many people, he doesn't know who to return to. Lo efshar b'tshuva, he doesn't have the ability even of doing tshuva. Amar Reb Levi said, kasha gezel hejot yosemi gezel gavoa. It's worse to steal from a simple person than to steal from God. In this regard, it talks about sin and then crime. And here it talks about mi'ila, and then it says the sin, the crime. Rabbi Chananya ben Akash omer, Ratzah Kadosh Baruch Hu l'zakus es Yisrael. Lefichah kibul em Torah mitzvot, shenemar adonai chavetz l'matzah, ko yagdil t'rav yadir.